and asking you to turn with me into the book of Ruth as we continue our journey through this book today, chapter 2. We began in chapter 2 last week. Picking up the account in verse 14, we find Ruth gleaning in the fields, and she had happened to go into the field, led by the Lord, into the field of Boaz, who happened to be one of the kinsmen redeemer. And she met Boaz, and Boaz showed grace and mercy to her. And she's gleaning in the field. And we pick up the account beginning at verse 14. At mealtime, which would have been about halfway through the day, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread, and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain, and she ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley that she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She returned and carried it back to town and to her mother-in-law and saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also gave her what was left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law, which was Naomi, asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I work with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead," she added. "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Then Ruth of Moab said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" So Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field you may be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the servant girls of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Here ends the reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth, and we thank you for your grace that you freely bestow upon us. Lord, I pray that through your word, you would encourage our hearts this morning as we meet with you. As we wait before you this morning, give us ears to hear and receive what you have for us today, that we can leave here gladly knowing that we have heard and met with you, our Savior. And Lord, may we bring our will in alignment with your truth, Lord, as we live and surrender to you. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever done anything where you messed up or you made a big mistake and someone showed you grace even though you felt you didn't deserve it? That ever happened to any of you? That's happened, I'm sure, to many of us in our lives at one time. We can think back to a time where we blew it or we messed up and God showed us, and we felt we didn't deserve grace, but someone did. I can share a time in my life where one time I made a big mistake like that, where I was having a family having a graveside service. I had the funeral service earlier, and had the funeral service had been done earlier, and it came time for service, and I had forgotten it. And it totally slipped my mind, and the family was gathered waiting, and I wasn't there. And it totally slipped my mind. And they were wondering where I was, and they were concerned about me. And then afterwards, they had showed me grace because it slipped my mind. And I had learned after that, make sure I put things in my calendar. I can't rely on my memory. But we all mess up at times, and we all blow it, and we need grace. Ruth was in need of daily grace. And she arrived with her mother-in-law, Ruth, and she arrived with her mother-in-law, Naomi, back to Bethlehem, a poor, destitute widow. She had lost her husband. She had no one to support her. no one to care for her, and here Naomi and her were alone, desperately in need of grace in a situation where that felt hopeless for them. She was also from Moab, which means she was outside of the people of God. She wasn't an Israelite, and no hope, didn't think she'd have any prospects of finding a husband to support her from the nation of Israel. And she definitely was in need of grace. We understand that it was harvest time and she was directed by God, even though at this point she didn't understand that she was directed by God into the field owned by Boaz. And she went to the field looking for favor. In fact, verse 3 of this chapter begins. She said that she was going to go out into the field for anyone that she could find favor. Verse 2, let me go out to the field and see if I can find favor in someone's eyes. So she went into the field looking for favor, which is really grace, and went into that field, happened to be owned by Boaz, where she met her kinsman redeemer. And when she met her kinsman redeemer, he bestowed grace to her, and her life was going to change. Because even though she felt she didn't deserve grace, she was granted it. You and I need grace as well in our life. For our sin, for the times we mess up, the times we fail, or just someone when we just need grace in our life we feel we don't deserve. So we go into the field of grace as well, and there we meet our kinsman redeemer, Jesus. And when we meet Jesus, our kinsman redeemer, he bestows upon us his wonderful grace, his grace that is amazing. And in the field of grace, our lives are changed. And in the field of grace, we are refreshed and we are cared for. And this morning, as we look at the field of grace, as we see Ruth gleaning in the field, as we seen last week, she went into the field to glean, and the law was that the harvesters were to leave along the outside and go through the field once so that those in need could come along behind and pick it up. And that's what Ruth was doing. She was gleaning in this field, picking up what was left behind. She happened to find out that it was owned by Boaz. Naomi was going to tell her later, this is one of her kinsmen redeemer. But he saw her and took notice to her and extended grace to her, even though she felt she didn't deserve it. And she was provided for through grace. And the first thing we see as we labor in the field of grace, as we look for God's grace this morning, is the provision of his grace. Because Boaz provided amazing grace on Ruth. He showered upon her as she labored in his field, and as she gleaned among him, among the field, he bestowed his grace and favor. And that word favor is another word for grace upon her. And if we think of grace, it's freely given and bestowed. And when God bestows his grace on you or I, he freely gives it to us. And Boaz freely bestowed grace upon Ruth. He didn't need to, but he bestowed it upon her. And his grace that is freely given once is forgiveness. Notice in verse 14, it says at mealtime, it's lunchtime now, Boaz calls Ruth over and says, here, come and have a meal. You've been working hard in the field all morning. Come and have me and eat with my servant girls, with my harvesters. Have a meal and sit down with us and eat. And he offered her what? Bread and wine. Does that look familiar? Is that significant? He's the kinsman redeemer. And he offers her bread and wine, a picture of Jesus' body and blood shed. It's a picture of forgiveness, of sitting down at his table, of receiving his forgiveness of our sin. And isn't that the first thing that we need grace over? We need grace for our sin and our forgiveness. Freely be given, freely bestowed. And thank God for his grace that forgives us of all of our sins, and that when he shows his grace to us that we don't deserve and he grants his forgiveness, it's total and complete, and he never, ever brings it up and remembers it again. Aren't you thankful for that? He buries your sin and mine, and the sea of his forgetfulness and the deepness of the sea puts it's buried and it's gone, and he no longer holds us accountable for it. Bread and wine, the picture of the forgiveness of God's grace that he offers. And that's the first thing here, because that's what we first need. That's the first thing we need grace over, is the forgiveness of our sin. But it's freely given as well through protection. Verse 8, he told the men, the harvesters, don't touch her and protect her, and you watch out for her and keep her safe. And God gives us the grace of his protection, protecting us from our enemy and protecting us with his wings over us, as we saw last week. But his grace is bestowed protecting us and caring for us, not only forgiveness, but his protection, where he wraps his arms around us, keeps us in his hand, and is holding us fast there from the storms of life. The grace of his protection, also the grace of his loving kindness. When he said, watch out and care for her, and he said, make sure no one touches her. And he said, then he goes on to say, pull extra grain and intentionally let it lay there for her to pick up. He went beyond and he showed loving kindness to her in his grace. The Greek, the Bible word is chesed, his loving kindness, his favor that is freely bestowed and abundant. And God in his grace shows loving kindness to you. And to me, he bestows that favor of loving kindness upon you, which is abundant and folded out upon us each day. In the blessing that he bestows. His grace is provided and it's freely given, but it's also undeserved. Ruth responded to the grace that Boaz gave her by saying in verse 10, she bowed down with her face to the ground and exclaimed, why have I found such favor? That word favor is another word for grace. But why have I found grace or favor in your eyes that you would notice me, a foreigner? Someone who was outside of the people of God. Someone who she felt said, I don't deserve it. Why would you bestow grace upon me? But that's how God is in the grace he gives us, our kinsman redeemer, that none of us deserve grace, but he freely bestows it upon us. And aren't you thankful he does? Freely given, though undeserved. Grace equals God's unmerited favor. And that's what grace is. It's the unmerited favor of God that he freely gives us. Ruth went into the field in need, looking for favor and grace, the unmerited favor, and she found it in Boaz, her kinsman redeemer. When you and I are in need of grace and favor, we can find it in Jesus, who is our kinsman redeemer, who freely bestows it upon us. And it is freely given and fully extended and provided to all who will seek him. In Sunday school this morning, we were talking about Zacchaeus, who was seeking to see Jesus, and he was trying to get there, but the crowd was so large and he was short, he had to go up a tree. But God saw him, Jesus saw him pass that way and extended and gave him grace, even though no one in the crowd would. And God extended grace to him. And the Lord extends grace to us freely and bestowed. So thank the Lord this morning in the garden and the field of grace for his provision of grace over you. His freely given, totally undeserved, but fully and freely bestowed. The provision of his grace. But second, in the field of grace, we have the abundance of his grace. That not only does he provide grace for us, but his grace is abundant and overflowing and exceeding. In verses 17 to 20, it said that Ruth gleaned in the field till evening, and she thrashed the barley that she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah, which is about 25 pounds. So she not only worked and gleaned and picked it up, but then she went to the threshing floor, and she threshed it and separated the chaff from the wheat and took that home with her and put it in a sack, and it amounted to about 25 pounds that had been provided for her that day, which was a great amount. But it was sufficient in the abundance of her grace. And God provided for her through Boaz the abundance of grace. And his grace, when the Lord provides his grace, it is sufficient for our needs. It says here that when she ate, in verse 14, she ate and dipped it in the wine, and she sat down with the harvesters, and he offered her some of the roasted grain, and she ate all she wanted, but also had some left over. So it was sufficient for her need. And when God bestows his grace in your life, it's sufficient for your need, whatever it may be. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, something that beset him. And three times he prayed, Lord, take this away from me. I need your grace in this area, but take this away. I pray that you do this infirmity. Take it from me. And the Lord never did. But the Lord did say this to him. He said, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. And so sometimes you may have a deep need or a burden that you're carrying. A thorn is something that may be besetting you. And you pray to the Lord, Lord, remove this from me. You know this need and it's not being met. It's not being fulfilled. Remove it from me. And the Lord may not, but he may respond by giving you the grace that is sufficient in that time of need. And aren't you thankful he does? His grace is sufficient for you. Whatever your need is, whatever that heart burden may be that is on your, that you are carrying, his grace is sufficient to meet that need. So that's the good news as we go into the field of grace. He will meet that need, but also in the abundance of his grace, it's more than we need, because verses 15 to 17 says that she also gathered it up and it amounted to 25 pounds. It ended up being more than what she needed for that meal. That concluded that when Ruth returned home, she had 25 pounds of barley and wheat, which is more than enough to feed both her and Naomi, not just for one meal, but for a week. She went into the field of grace looking for enough for one meal, just for the day, and ended, returned home with enough to feed both of them for more than a week. And isn't that how God works? That he doesn't just often supply what we need, but he supplies more than we need, over and abundantly. When he shows his grace upon us, he doesn't just give us a little, but he gives us abundant grace, exceedingly and abundantly. That's the good God we have. His hand is generous and very liberal in his giving of us. His grace and provision is always more than enough. The word of God says in John chapter 1, verse 16, that from his fullness, meaning his richness, who he is, his character, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Not just grace, but grace given on top of that and on top of that, because our God is abundant and his giving of grace. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord was poured out on me, Paul says, abundantly, along with the faith and love and that is in our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul felt unworthy of God's grace because he had persecuted the church of God. And he said, I am the least of the apostles. But he says, the Lord poured out grace on me abundantly. And he was thankful and rejoicing. Aren't you thankful? God pours out a grace on you abundant and free. And praise God for that. God is able to provide in amazing ways. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says, now to him who was able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all we can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, that our God is exceeding and abundant in his grace. 2 Peter writing to the church said that grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. That God multiplies grace and peace to us. In Romans chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. That's where grace greater from our sins come on. But aren't you thankful that where sin abounds in our life, God's grace is greater than that sin? It abounds even more because he knows we need it. And he knows we need that forgiveness. So his grace is abundant. It supplies what we need. It's sufficient for our need, but it's more than what we need. And he goes on to say in James chapter 4, verse 6, James says, but he gives more grace not just somebody, gives us more grace. Therefore, its scripture says, God opposes the proud, but gives his grace to those who are humble. So thank the Lord for the abundance of his grace, that it's sufficient for our need, but it's more than our need. And because his grace is so abundant, it's meant to be shared. And it's meant to be given and shared with others. Notice in verses 18 to 20, Ruth comes home after laboring in the field all day. And her mother-in-law says, well, where did you glean? Where did you work? She said, blessed is a man that took notice of you. And she said, well, I worked in a field by the man that owned to a man whose name was Boaz. And she said, well, he's one of our kinsmen redeemer. But said that Ruth took what she had and gathered and brought it and also gave to Naomi. She shared it with Naomi. The grace that she had received, she extended and shared it to others. God's grace that we receive in our life is meant to be shared, and his grace and extended given to us is meant so that we can share his grace with someone else. And when God is gracious to you and bestows his grace on you, he's done that so that you can show grace to others. His grace overflows and extends through us. And because we have received grace, we are meant to show and extend grace to others as well. We saw that this morning as well in Sunday school in the story of Zacchaeus, that when Jesus showed grace to him and came to his house and forgave him, he showed grace to others by repaying what he had taken from them four times over. And because he was to receive grace, he extended grace. And that grace is to be shared. And that's what makes grace so abundant. Grace abundant and free. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 15, Paul writing to the church says, all of this is for your benefit, so that grace that is reaching more and more may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. And Paul said to the church in Corinth, you receive grace, and through that, you extend grace to others, and it overflows from you to people around you, that they see God's glory at work in you. Sharing of God's grace, it's abundant. So you've received it. And the way that we have been received, given grace by God, we are to extend that grace to those around us. So we see the provision of his grace and the abundance of his grace in that field. But third, in that field, we are instructed and called to abide in his grace. And there we are to live, and there we are to remain in that grace of God that is sustained and displayed over us. In verses 21 through 23, Ruth said, he said, telling to Naomi, he even invited me and said, stay with me in my field until they are finishing my grain. Stay in my field of grace. And Naomi said, it would be good for you to stay there because in someone else's field you might be harmed. So verse 23 says, Ruth stayed close to the servant girls to glean and work until the barley harvest was finished. We are invited by our Lord to abide in his grace. And he welcomes us there, that he freely extends grace. And he said, abide and remain with me. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Jesus gives us that invitation to abide and remain close to him and connected to him under his arms of grace, where he says, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so be even more fruitful. But you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So he says in verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself, for it must remain in me. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask what you wish and it will be given you. And this is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing me my disciples. And as the Father has loved me, verse 9, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. And we get that call to remain and abide in his grace. And there we live. And thank the Lord for that grace that is extended freely over us. He wants us in that intimate relationship, abiding and living in his grace, not in his judgment, not in his condemnation, but living and abiding in his grace. And aren't you thankful that's where he wants us to be? That we live there and abide in his grace extended freely over us. And we live in that field and we labor in that field of grace because our God is a God of grace as we abide close to him. It's all about grace, my friends, and boy, that's the difference. Between grace and law, which would you rather have? That grace that freely the God calls us to abide in. And that grace, as we abide there, not only are we invited to abide in that grace, but his grace abides with us until the harvest is over. It says in verse 21 that Ruth said that Boaz said to her, stay in my field and abide in my field of grace until the harvest is done. And verse 23 says she stayed there until the barley and wheat harvest was finished. And dear friends, you and I can abide and remain and linger in the grace of God until the harvest is over. And when is the harvest over? When he calls us home. And then we enter into his presence, and there we're going to have another type of grace that's even going to be more amazing. But until the harvest is over, until that final day, we can abide and we are abiding in his grace, lingering there, knowing his grace will cover us. His grace is being fully extended to us in our time of need. Even though we feel we don't deserve it, it's being fully given and fully provided as we abide there under his protection, as we receive his forgiveness, as we have his loving kindness and favor bestowed upon us daily in abundant ways, day in and day out until the harvest is done, until the final day. Aren't you thankful for his grace that is abiding and lasting and never runs out? It never can be exhausted. It will never run out until the harvest is done, until the final day. So the field of grace, that's where we want to be. God's provision for us there that we don't deserve is abundant and free and lasting as we continue to abide. Our closing hymn, we're not going to sing it yet, but our closing hymn is based on this scripture and on this verse that God gives more grace to us. And he gives grace to those in time of need. It was written by a man, a lady whose name is Annie Johnson Flint. This is a picture of her. And the song, He Giveth More Grace, was written by Annie Johnson Flint. And her last name, Flint, is the surname of her adopted parents. Her first name, her real name was Johnson, and she was adopted. But Annie Johnson was born in 1866 in New Jersey on Christmas Eve. By the age of six, she had lost both of her parents. Her first parent to leave this world was her mother when she passed away only 3 years after Annie was born while she was giving birth to her sister, her younger sister. So she died when her mother was three, she was three when her mother died. Due to her father's serious illness, she and her sister were surrendered to a family friend. Unfortunately, the family friend did not take good care of them, and she focused more on her own kids and ignored Anne and her sister. Eventually, a teacher noticed the precarious situation where these children were in and recommended to her sick father that they let a childless couple, Mr. and Mrs. Flint, adopt the children, so they agreed. Anne's father agreed to the arrangement due to his illness and the fact that both Mr. and Mrs. Flint were Baptists like he was. So the Flints raised the children well. They taught the children Bible truths, how to live a frugal life, and they learned and saw how to sew their own clothes and other things. It was during this time that Anne got a love for writing poems. This was first to be expected as the Flints had a big house and a library, and Anne spent most of her time reading all the books. Her first job was teaching, and she taught at the same school that she had attended in the area where she grew up. But not long afterwards, she was diagnosed with a debilitating disease of arthritis. And the doctors informed her that she would soon be an invalid and pretty much confined to a wheelchair in bed for the rest of her life. Their prediction soon became a reality as Anne became an invalid, relying on others for most everything in her life. And she was regularly in pain as the arthritis had spread through her entire body. Despite all of this, she had kept the faith and continued to author her poems, even though her fingers were twisted in pain and she couldn't hardly write anymore, and her poems expressed the hope that she still had in Jesus Christ. By God's providence, two national publishers published her poems in nation's magazines and newspapers, and these poems touched many people and wrote about expressing her gratitude, and eventually they were published. Her most famous poem was the hymn, He Giveth More Grace. He Giveth More Grace was one of her most beloved devotional hymns written by Anne Grant Johnson Flint. It was first written as a poem in 1903, and her life was marked by severe physical suffering, personal loss, and long years of infirmity. But yet her writings continue to relate the confidence and the sufficiency of God's grace in her time of need. And this hymn stands as a clear testimony to her theology that was forged in affliction and anchored in Scripture. The hymn is built directly upon the promise of James 4, verse 6, that he gives grace, more grace. And rather than presenting grace as a simple gift given at conversion, Annie Flint unfolds the biblical truth that God supplies grace continually and increasingly as a believer's need grows. Each stanza progresses in thought, showing that when trials multiply, strength is multiplied too, and grace is multiplied too. And when burdens increase and pain increase, God's grace increases too. The central emphasis of this hymn is the sufficiency of divine grace in moments of weakness. This theme echoes the Lord's words to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness." Annie Flint does not deny the reality of pain, exhaustion, or sorrow, and said she acknowledged them as honestly while directing the believer's attention to the unchanging faithfulness of God. Grace is portrayed as adequate, not because circumstances improve, but because God remains present and powerful as we abide with him. The image of strength renewed also draws from Isaiah 40, where the Lord promises power to the faint and renewed strength to those who wait on him. The hymn assures believers that God never exhausts his resources. Human strength may fall and fail, but God's supply is limitless, meeting every moment in need with divine sufficiency. He giveth more grace has endured because it speaks tenderly and truthfully to suffering believers. It is especially meaningful in times of trial, illness, or prolonged difficulty. Rooted deeply in the Scripture and shaped by lived experience, this hymn invites us as believers not to trust in our own endurance, but in the unfailing grace of God, who gives much more grace exactly when it is most needed. He gives us more grace, even in a body that was racked with continual pain. Annie Flint knew and learned that God's grace was sufficient in those times of need. And the more grace we need in more affliction, he adds more grace. In the field of grace, thank the Lord for our kinsman redeemer, Jesus, who provides that grace, and that grace is abundant in abundance as we abide in that grace freely given and freely displayed. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your abundant and amazing grace. Lord, that as we abide in that field, we went looking for favor and we found favor freely bestowed by you. You are our kinsman redeemer. And as we glean in the field of life, and as we go about our daily work, there, Lord, we are under the shadow of your wings, abiding in your field of grace freely bestowed upon us that we don't deserve. But Lord, you provide for us in abundance, not just that it's sufficient for our need, but it's more than we need. And that grace overflows in what you do and what you extend to us, to others, that it flows out of us into the lives of those around us, that they see your grace at work displayed in us, and it overflows into them as well. So Lord, we thank you that we can abide, and you call us and invite us to abide and remain in your field of grace until the harvest is complete, that you extend that grace freely, and when our strength is weak, your grace is sufficient. And your grace is greater than all of our sin. Your grace can never be exhausted. It will never wear out. It is always abundant and free because you give more grace each and every day. Thank you, Lord, for you, our kinsman redeemer, and your abundant grace that you have bestowed upon us and continue to each day. May we abide willingly and joyfully in that field of grace, laboring there until the day when the harvest is complete. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.